All right, let's call it to order. Ready with your recorder? Fabulous. All council is present. Administrator Teresa Hill. City Attorney Jason Moran. City Engineer Jason Femme.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda and additional items to the agenda.
So the additional items that I'm requesting is item 3G, resolution 2024-R004, approving exempt permit. 6, under new business, I, American Rescue Plan expense allocation, and J, floodplain ordinance revisions.
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda with the amendments.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The consent agenda.
I'll make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Teresa, right down to old business then, is that number 4?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, A, contract revision on there. Do you have information on that, Teresa?
I'll let Jason handle this one. Chat Jason and Bruce Schwartzman from BKB is here also.
Yes, we have essentially two contracts here tonight. One, of course, provided by BKB. The other one, I believe, is essentially Binky Construction, where they would act as the construction manager. Basically, what this does is this facilitates the fire hall build out. With the BKB contract, you've still got different stop gaps built into the contract if you do decide not to go forward with it. For instance, at section 11, you got the compensation, you've got schematic design, 15% of the contract call for, then you've got the design development, 25%, construction documents, 35%, bidding and award, 5%, construction administration, 20%. So there are some stop gaps if you decide not to go forward with it. It does anticipate a total project budget between $5 million and $4 million. And it also includes the anticipated dates at section 1.1.4. In terms of compensation, you know, at section 11, we've got $244,000 plus reimbursables not to exceed $13,000.
Jason, how are you?
Doing good.
I'm just here just in case you have any other questions.
I know we talked construction manager here, and I know we can talk about that again. I just wanted to know if that's someone you've had experience with before.
I do. As a matter of fact, Chris and I were actually talking about them beforehand, so we understand they're a good company. Okay. We've worked with them before.
I'll ask more about that then when we get that far down.
So if we then go with Binky as the construction manager.
We're just doing BKB right now.
Okay.
The other one, I want to go out and request for proposals.
Okay.
So I only furnish particular information on scope of project and so on.
So you need approval of this.
Yeah, we're looking for approval for the BKB contract revision, and then when we get to the next item, we're actually looking for request permission to go out for RFPs.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the BKB contract revision.
No, I'll second it.
All in favor?
What does that mean? What are we approving?
So this, what they did is we put a stopgap on the BKV Architectural Services. So this is the addendums to the original contract that you would be approving.
So they would start their process by approving this?
So they would continue with schematic. If you remember, we got to a certain part in schematic drawing, and then we put a halt to it. So then this would continue the project through as proposed.
So what does it cost each step?
So
in section 11, you've got $244,000, and then you would take that $244,000, multiply it by these different percentages. For instance, if we advance to the construction documents phase and then we decided not to go any further, we would owe 15%, 25%, 35% multiplied by 244. I shouldn't say that's what we would owe. It would be no more than that.
So the schematic phase works out to be
75%.
It works out to what?
$36,600 for the first phase, based on that 15%.
So how are we funding this?
You're paying it out of your coffers for right now, and then when you decide to finance, then those costs are rolled into the bond. Or can be rolled into the bond, but that's the way it's anticipated.
And refresh my memory, had we allowed for this in the budget?
It takes into account the project costs. Since the last time we met, we'd have to look at that, because I think we were looking at a $5 million project, and that's what this is coming in at, with a $4 million construction.
So when we get to the bonding phase, what's that going to cost us? I mean, we're going to end up levying for that, correct? And how big a levy is that going to take in order to make that bond?
Correct. I don't have that information in front of me. I know that we had presented that previously about, you know, what kind of percent increase, but it would depend on how you're going to stagger or how you're going to put your payments out there. So if you do an interest-only payment the first year, your levy, it's not going to affect your levy as much as you did a principal interest. So it'll depend on how you're going to actually issue that bond with payments. But we did do one previously, and I would just need to pull that back up, and I can recirculate that on what impact, because there's nothing coming off really for debt service. So the whole project and the whole principal and interest would increase the levy, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. And then when they start this schematic, then we're going to have to pay $36,000. Is that what you said? Roughly $36,000 is going to cost now.
Yep. Well, that's when the work's complete, and we bill on a monthly basis. So we're assuming it's probably going to be a little less than 2 months for the first phase.
We went through that. We paid this once before already. This schematic thing, when we did it before, we've already paid that amount before.
Let's see if I can get into here.
There were some fees paid on the previous project before it stopped. Yes. But it's a different project now. So.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess I'm done questioning.
How is that construction administration of 20%? How is that phase going? Is that phase going to be impacted if we bid out and hire a construction manager?
No, we still work hand in hand with them. Again, 90% of our projects or so are done with construction managers, and it does help. And it would help in this case with pre-engineered building. It would allow the city to purchase that ahead of time and get that moving, so it would help with kind of fast track project over too. So. Yeah, all the projects we've done in Rochester and the area have all been with construction managers.
Okay, I think we do have a motion on the floor.
And a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to B, the construction manager.
I'll make a motion that we allow Teresa to put out bids, is that what you'd say?
Yeah, we'd want to go out for request for proposals.
Request for proposals for a construction manager.
Yeah. And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right.
Thanks, Chris.
Number C is our park board vacancies. We have, can open this up to conversation. We had, luckily, we had four people apply.
Thank you.
Four applicants for that. Happy with all of those applicants. We'll have to choose through there. We had two new people for sure, Joel Christensen, Melena Watsek, and we had Chrissy Christensen also, and we had Sue Myers. So we got four applicants for that. Conversations on it. I really like some new people in there, Joel Christensen and Melena Watsek. New people on the park board that can. New light.
How long is the term for this? Sorry.
I think it's 3 years. Or 4 years.
Are they both the same?
I thought I had that, sorry.
So Melena's in college right now. Is she planning on being around here for 3 years to be on that board?
Yeah, she lives in Waterville. She lives in Waterville. She's a real go-getter, too, and it'd be nice. She's college age.
Young person. Both are three-year terms?
They're three-year terms, yep.
Do you want to make a motion on those two candidates, or do you want to?
I'd make them one at a time here. Okay. Make a motion that we accept applicant for park board vacancy, Melena Watsek.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries for Melena. And I'd make a motion that we accept Joel Christensen for the park board vacancy.
I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to thank all the applicants.
Yeah.
It's nice that we had that good group of people interested. D, planning and zoning vacancies. Again, we had several applicants for this spot here. Four. Open it up for conversation. I think we had Bernie Ackman was one of the applicants, Nick Bongers, Phil Langrud, and Sue Merska.
How many vacancies do we have, Tracy?
We have two.
Uh-huh. We have two?
Two.
Those are both three-year terms also? Sorry.
Then
Well, she's looking that
not
up.
Not 3 year.
I'd like to nominate Bernie for at least one of those positions.
And I'd like to nominate.
You said those are 4 year?
Three.
Okay.
Should we do these separately?
Do you want to do them separately?
Do them separately.
Okay. Who did you say? I can't hear you sometimes. I'm sorry.
He nominated Bernie Ackerman.
Oh,
Ackerman.
And I'd nominate Phil Langerud.
Oh, we got to vote on the first one first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second Bernie, or unless that was done already.
No, I don't believe so.
All in favor of Bernie Ackman?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? And motion carries.
I'll also second Phil, because I think Roy's already made that motion.
I think what we got for Nick on there?
Nick Bongers is active with the fire department. He's on one of our committees.
He's also on the HR committee.
HR. He's a capable person on that planning and zoning, too. We've got I'm definitely in favor of Nick as being helpful for our community.
Is there any conflict of interest of him being on multiple
HR?
No.
I would nominate Nick Bongers.
Okay, we do have actually.
You have a motion and a second on the floor right
and
now.
And seconded, and that was for Phil.
Okay. So, in favor of Phil Langrude on the planning and zoning?
Aye.
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 I'm a nay. Ayes have it. Motion carries. And that is the only two vacancies on there, right?
Correct.
Okay. Moving on to F. E.
E, yeah.
Franchise fees.
Can I take this, Teresa?
Yes, please.
A couple of months ago, we discussed the possibility of the City of Waterville imposing franchise fees as a way to generate some revenue. That is certainly one way that cities can generate revenue. I checked the franchise agreements that we have with Mid-Continent and Metronet, and we're allowed to go up to 5% of gross revenues. And most cities would, in fact, do percentages just as those franchise agreements call for. So this proposed ordinance is 5%. In order for it to become effective, we would need a public hearing. So if you want to go forward with this, we would treat tonight as the first reading. There would be a motion made to accept this as the first reading. Then we can discuss it and set it up for a public hearing with passage in March, I suppose. It's not effective until 90 days after passage. So you're not going to see any revenue for probably 4 or 5 months. But
have we had franchise with them before, or no?
You've never done franchise fees for any either one of the telecommunications, to my understanding. Okay. I think you might have done franchise fees, or maybe or still are, for like Xcel Energy, perhaps telephone.
Cable TV.
Cable TV only. Midco.
Midco.
Midco cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's they're in that, right?
We're currently getting that from Midco. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because that we got Mid-Continent in that agreement, and if we're already dealing with them, that's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what would the motion be that this is the first reading?
This would be the first reading, and you would set it up for a public hearing in March.
Okay. I think we talked about this was going to be not necessarily a windfall, but it would cover costs and expenses of the city workers and the right-of-ways.
It'll definitely help, yeah.
It'll help in that area.
And our discussion, if you remember, too, is most towns around us do have franchise fees, so at least many of them, maybe not everyone.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Can you just be specific as to like being telecommunication, or would you go to like the other, like Minnegasco or SendPoint or Xcel or any of that kind of thing, and those are left out of that type of thing?
This one looks like it's strictly for telecommunications. Yeah, we're not approving anything else.
Yeah, that's what I said, but
yeah. any
you don't have to go any or all.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I mean, you have to keep it within the family class, for instance. If you're going to do telecommunications and you have 5 telecommunications providers in your service area, that applies to all of them. And likewise, if one comes to town, then
they would have to be covered under that.
Well, yeah. Okay. But if you're going to apply it to telecommunications, it doesn't necessarily apply then to gas or electric.
Okay.
Or,
okay.
Okay. So,
do you guys, Teresa? Do you guys charge anything for gas or electric? Do you know?
We don't do. We only just do the one franchise right now. Okay. That was part of our discussion that we would look into it further.
Sure.
But at current, we weren't.
Well, then I'll make a motion that this is the first reading and that we take this then to a public hearing for franchise fees.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
You have to set a date for
date
the public hearing?
Correct.
We just do it for the next meeting?
The March meeting.
That sounds fine.
Do we need to specify the date,
right?
Or can we just specify?
Yeah.
Okay.
Separate motion then.
I'll make a motion that we set the public hearing for ordinance number 510.02 at a regular public or regular council meeting in March 12th at 6 p.m.
So we would start with the public hearing. Is that what you're saying, right, or not?
I think.
Or make it at 7?
Yeah, during the.
As long as it's around meeting. 6 o'clock, you could still open the meeting, do the consent agenda, have it under old business.
I just put the public hearings right after. Same order as what Jason said.
Yep. Having it set at 6 is no problem. What you can't do is you can't say 6:15 and then open it at 6.
Yeah.
So you can run a little late.
Do we have a second on that?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. F, gauge installation fee approval. We had a conversation on this. This is for the separate water, correct?
Yeah, so this is part of what we were going to do under our funding for the hydrology study. The DNR would be doing the installation. We did have some items yet that we needed to purchase, like normal things like lumber and that kind of thing for the installation. So for the installation and the other expenses, we're looking at about $5,200 for the DNR to do the installation of that. And then monitoring costs also for that for 4 visits for about 3 hours, $3,800. We are still exploring that option as far as if they can use the same data or not. But we definitely, if you can give me permission to, you know, approve it up to the $9,000 between the monitoring costs and that, then that gives me something to work with and work with the DNR on. Anything above that, I would be coming back. But we would like to at least get the information ready and the install done.
Do we get reimbursed for this?
No,
that
this
study?
Is city
this
cost.
This is city cost?
This is city cost.
This is for water level for the flooding? Or
right, mm-hmm. Right.
Just something we have to do?
This is something that the council agreed to do, and then we also agreed to do the cost of it. Yes, it is something that we do need to do because it plugs into the play, plugs into the equations to allow people to see the data when it's flooding, and it helps our emergency management decide what's coming at us and how to react. As you know, we don't have anything available other than like marking yardsticks that they go around and check. So when this is up and ready, that will allow good information to all of the residents. It also helps in the modeling purposes and down the road deciding, you know, where we're going to do improvements to so that we don't get all that water for holding upstream and that kind of thing. So it all goes into the main equation of our end goal, yes.
How was the monitoring done?
So the monitoring, the DNR is going to be actually physically checking those for until they can get the data regulated.
It's not something on the gauge that can tell communicate to something else? They have to literally go out and check them, or?
No, it's designed so that it can transmit eventually.
Okay.
But they need to build everything out first.
Oh, okay.
Essentially calibrating it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's what it is? Okay.
So we'll know ahead of time if we have to start sandbagging.
This is all kind of goes hand in hand with the Cannon River Watershed project that's been going on. So 9,000 will get us there, or do you want a little cushion in case?
So she's already given me the quota, the 5,200 and then the 3,800. It's up to you if you want to do a little more cushion than that. But I would know probably by the next meeting if they're anticipating not to be able to use the data available at this time.
When the gauges were purchased, they were purchased under that grant, though, right?
We purchased everything that we could in the time limit before it ran out.
Okay. So that was already there.
Yeah, council had talked about doing this under American Rescue Fund money. Which we can chat about, we will be chatting about later on in the agenda.
Okay.
I just want to make sure, so you know, this will not, with my proposal at the end about using the rest of the funds for American Rescue, this would not be earmarked for that, but I'll go into detail with that later.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve the gauge installation fees up to the amount of $10,000.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Citizen time. Would anybody like to address the council?
Thanks, Mayor and Council. Give you a couple of updates on some things, especially that will be directly related to Waterville. First one we'll start with is the bridge on 3rd here in town that's going to get replaced this summer. So we'll actually have the bid opening for that on February 28th at 1 o'clock at the county boardroom. So if people want to see what the bids are like, you're certainly welcome to. That's an open thing. When the bids will be open.
When are they planning on breaking ground? After bullhead days, hopefully?
Yep, that's the... Written into the agreement, we're not touching anything during bullhead days, okay? So that's already, we're very aware of that, so don't mess that part up.
Perfect, thank you.
Other pieces that actually written into the bid specs, too, is it'll take about 5 to 6 weeks to actually get everything done, okay? Now, and so that's from when they move the first shovel of anything, okay? And so I have 5 to 6, and I say weeks, it's weeks worth of working days. Okay? Now, I don't have a specific date for you other than it would be done, because I asked our county engineer about that this morning. It would be done, but no later than mid-September. Okay, but we don't have a specific like date yet. You know, and part of that, we'll see what the bids end up looking like and be able to do some scheduling with that, too.
This is an entire bridge replacement, then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The one that's there's got some age on it.
It does.
So that's, you know what's coming there. So after the 28th, we'll have a better picture as to timing and all that sort of thing. But again, no bullhead days. They know that up going in front. So one other thing that, and again, doesn't necessarily affect the city directly, but a little bit, I mean, with any of the county roads that go through, is that our county engineer just got the figures for what the estimate for income from the state aid for the county is concerned on roads and bridges, and it will be up about 10% compared to what it was previously, so that we'll be able to kind of do some real things with that money. So that's something that's important as we look forward on really the basics of what government should be doing, right? Other thing, I don't have any update on the bonding request for the flood mitigation. 2 weeks ago, we did have Holly and Mike went and presented in front of the Senate Capital Investment Committee. And now as the legislature starts to get into session, we'll see how we can get slotted in for hearing, and we'll go from there. And so that's kind of where things are at with that, other than just to let you know that they did get a Senate hearing. So they've gotten a hearing in both, which is helpful. We do have at least one person I know that's going to try and do some help with us on the Senate side, and we'll just see where things end up. Obviously, there's no guarantee that you even have a bonding bill, right? I mean, we had a big one this past year, and so, plus it's an election year, so you just don't really know exactly what's going to happen with that. But if you don't ask, you don't get anything. Okay, so that's where that one's at for right now, and I'll certainly keep you updated there. We had a work session 2 weeks ago on bike trails, and we just wanted to collect what real costs would be, because there's been some discussion, you know, as they look at redoing, you know, Highway 13, is that maybe a time to look at some things with bike trails. We got some preliminary cost figures that were really high, okay? And there's kind of two choices if you do a bike trail. One is that you can go ahead and just do put it right on the shoulder, which we kind of threw that idea out right away just from a safety standpoint. And it wasn't that much cheaper to do it, to do a full paved shoulder, than it was to do what they call just a separated grade, where you're going to put it in the existing right of way. Okay, so you're not going out and buying private property, put it in the existing right of way, but it's separated, you know, from the actual roadway. Okay, but we were still looking at estimates around $500,000 a mile to do that. And so when we start looking at connecting up Waterville to Montgomery at $500,000 a mile, and that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so for right now, I mean, you know, you never say never, because you never know what could happen with the state coming up with doing some things, but to expect that the county is just going to do that is probably not a responsible use of any of your money. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we had people ask about it, and so I just want to be clear that, yep, we had a work session on it, we collected some information, and I see it probably being shelved for now unless the state comes up and does something. You know, because then the other thing you got to think about is just long-term maintenance. So, for example, the state trail here is due for maintenance, and just the maintenance on that, they're estimating it's going to be $150,000 a mile. Okay, so it just adds up, but that's a state trail, not a county one, so the state ends up taking care of that. So just to give you an update, you never say never, but it's pretty much shelved right now just because of cost, and if something comes up, we'll just see what happens. And then the last thing that I'll leave you with is, and I think it's a good question, so had someone come to the board meeting and ask, what are we doing with all the money that we're saving with not moving snow? And, which you guys, I don't know if you ever get that question either. It's a good question, but, you know, our budget year runs from, you know, Jan 1 to December 30th. And I think sometimes people forget that the winter starting January 1st of 2023, so, you know, January through April was an absolute budget buster for snow removal. And so all that really happened with kind of everything we saved kind of in November and December, it kind of averaged all that out. Okay? And so there isn't necessarily this great big saving that's occurred, except now we'll see what happens the rest of the year. Because obviously we haven't spent much here, you know, so far in January. And so we'll just see what ends up happening. But there isn't this windfall so far of savings, because we spent so much in the first quarter of 2023. Then the other thing people ask, what do the county staff, what are they doing when they're not plowing snow? Because they're still getting paid. One of the things that we're doing a really good job now of catching up with are getting trees and brush out of the right-of-ways. And so they've kind of turned into lumberjacks for this winter, mm-hmm. and are moving a lot of trees and brush. That's just kind of something that just needs to get done. Okay, and it's been absolutely beautiful conditions to do that. And so there's the answer to the question, is that they're not sitting in the shop. They're working, They're just doing something different than what they probably normally would be doing in wintertime. And it's something that's important. It's really kind of deferred maintenance, right? I mean, it's just stuff that just needs to get done. We finally got a winter where you can actually get ahead of it. So, otherwise, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer those. That's it for me.
Nothing.
All right.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Anybody else like to address the council? Okay. We can move on to our new business here. A is our Minnesota Youth Fishing Tournament request. This is the Waterville Sportsman's Club. That is
June 24th.
Yep, the 24th. So this is a permit for them. It's an easy one.
Thank you.
This one?
Yep, we're not fracking on that one. We're doing a different
one. Oh, we're doing a different one.
So this is the Minnesota Youth Fishing. So there's a gentleman in town who organizes a lot of these events for the youth. Previously, they ran them out of our water tower landing there. And last year, they ran theirs out of the swimming beach. He's requesting that the swimming beach, they be allowed to use the swimming beach on June 24th. And it's 7th and 8th graders that are high school league anglers. So that's the request.
Why did he get moved to the beach last year? Was it because the ropes were out?
Because what? I'm sorry.
The ropes were out?
Probably.
Out of the water? Okay.
Yeah, and it was a good location. I did suggest to them to maybe look at doing the lagoons as part of that. And evidently they felt that the beach was a better fit for that.
The only problem I have with that is we're putting the ropes in early. Well, not early, but on time this year. And I don't want those ropes removed. The beach is the beach. It's not a place for fishing tournaments. So if they want to work off the outsides of the rope area, I guess that would be fine. But the roped off areas for swimming. That's not for fishing. We put those ropes in for safety, and there's a reason for it.
Are they using boats and stuff there? Is that what, to launch their boats through the beach?
Yeah,
is that
so
what
they're doing? Well, they do the same thing as what the fire department is. They launch, and then they end up there for their award ceremony and their weigh-ins and that kind of thing.
So they're not shore fishing from the beach?
No, they have their boats. They're out fishing the lakes, and then they bring in their prize catches or whatever you want to call them, and they record them and award their
most of them prizes. Using that for the weigh-in, the beach?
Yeah, so they do that for the weigh-in and that, and for the prizes.
But they launch the boat somewhere else?
They typically launch them at the landings.
Okay.
That's what I would think, okay.
So the only way is for them, for us to remove the nets and all that, right? Or can they leave those up and still do it there?
So I guess that's up for the council to decide if you want to make sure they can be, if you want to allow them, and like Tim's saying, the ropes and buoys don't get moved for safety if a swimmer's there, and then they can make their decision whether or not that would be acceptable or not. And if not, then they would need to find a different location then to host that would accommodate it.
Well, if you don't do it for them, you don't do it for the fire department then either.
No, we put those ropes in for a reason. We beat this to death last year. They didn't get put in until late. Then we ended up pulling them and messing around with it. Those ropes get put in the spring, you get pulled out in the fall. It's a public beach. We're not going to use it for boat landing or anything else for fishing tournament. I have a real problem with pulling the ropes and using it for something like that when there's a safety issue if people want to swim there. So,
all so they can have their way in there, but the ropes are staying. Everybody okay with
that's,
that?
That's my thing, yeah.
You should make a motion.
Yeah.
I think, Tracy, you'd probably prefer one, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
So I'll make a motion that they're allowed to use the swimming beach area outside of the normal rope placement, the rope stand place.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, B, the board equalization. This is...
April 10th. So is this just news, or is this, do we need to vote on it?
No, you need to actually set that date, because okay. It's going to be a meeting for you.
All right. So I'll make a motion that we approve the Board of Equalization on April 10th at 6:30 p.m.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And C, the Earned Safe and Sick Leave Policy Revisions.
This one's yours, Jason.
Thank you. There were two laws passed last legislative session. It's either going to give me a heart attack or cause me to retire early out of pure German anger. And this is one of them. We have revised this earned sick and safe leave, and Teresa and I have talked about this and talked about it months, probably 8 months. This law was passed without any consideration for rural Minnesota whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And point blank, it's a mess, it's a disaster. Anyway, the Department of Labor and Industry has been getting all kinds of questions. Who does it apply to? Who doesn't it apply to? How does it apply to small towns? How does it apply to volunteers? How does it apply to council members, for instance? The initial thought was, yeah, you know, council members are going to get earned safe and sick time. Well, that might work in the Twin Cities where councils meet every single week, but it doesn't work where, you know, you guys meet 12, 15 times a year. Department of Labor Industry came out and said, nope, it doesn't apply to council members, so we revised our policy and accepted council members. Then the issue becomes, does it apply to election judges? Department of Labor says no, so we revised it again and took election judges out. Just within the past couple of weeks, Department of Labor Industry has come out and said it doesn't apply to, for instance, volunteer firefighters and ambulance personnel. Now, I don't have ambulance personnel in this revision because Waterville doesn't have any ambulance personnel presently, but you do have a volunteer fire department. You can choose to allow this earned safe and sick policy to apply to firefighters or not apply to firefighters. Department of Labor and Industry says it shouldn't apply to firefighters, but you can allow them to be covered. If you allow them to be covered, it gets very difficult for Teresa and for the chief to track how much time someone is at a call, and not so much who's there and who isn't, but it really does present all kinds of questions. You know, when does the clock start? When does the clock stop? Does it start when the pager goes off and you're out the front door? Does it stop when you return home? I mean, these are all questions that are essentially unanswered. And so what the Department of Labor and Industry has said is, for small towns, for volunteer fire departments, such as which Waterville has, we don't have to apply this law to the fire department. But you certainly can. Now, what the Department of Labor and Industry did say is that if they are scheduled for a shift, or if it is a scheduled training or a scheduled meeting or an assigned shift, then it does have to apply. So what I did is I crafted a revision based upon Department of Labor and Industry's current guidance it's for your consideration here tonight. They would accumulate, and again, this only applies to firefighters, they would accumulate ESST time, which is essentially time off, for scheduled meetings, trainings, and assigned shifts, and any shift that they're assigned to. If it's not an assigned shift, if they're dispatched out, and those that choose to respond, they don't accumulate those hours, and Chris and Teresa doesn't have to worry about tracking and verifying those hours. It would only be pre-scheduled meetings and trainings and that sort of thing. And it's much easier then for everybody to monitor and to implement. So that's what's for your consideration here tonight. Now, I cannot not guarantee that this won't be revised again in a couple of months. I would be willing to bet that to some extent it will be, but at least that is what is for your consideration here tonight. I think I stated it. Teresa can correct me if I'm wrong.
I only have one question, and it isn't going to affect this one way or the other, but if the guys are earning this sick and safe time, how are they actually going to use it?
Well, and that's the good.
I mean, they're building up a bank that.
So when I had to explain this at our meeting, and Teresa explained it to me, and it went right over my head because it's over Jason's head apparently. It's like they got all in a tizzy, and it's like, well, how are you going to know this, and how are you going to keep track of that? And I wouldn't. We've tried to come up with a system. To the point where we had Val researching getting us a time clock, so that when they come to the fire station, they would punch in, and they would put them in there for their assigned, our assigned things, not for a call, but for our assigned three things a month. Well, then if they forget to do it, then they don't have it. So she priced out a couple of them. One came in at $5,200 plus maintenance fees, and one came in at $3,800 in maintenance fees. And the three of us decided we can just do it on paper.
Yes.
And then I decided, after now I'm going after every call and I'm making sure I get this. Because we've had a system in place where after every meeting you fill out your time on a sheet and at the end of the year we turn that in. Now I have to send them in every month. So I would take it completely out of there.
Yeah. Well, I have less.
Unfortunately, we can't take it out of there because what will happen. What we can do is we can implement it just as the Department of Labor and Industry tells us we have to. We'll have to track those out. And I'm sorry about this, but we're going to have to track those hours for meetings, trainings, and assigned shifts. And it is simply going to have to, I think, be somewhat on the honor system with you verifying and City Hall kind of keeping track of it. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is we really do have to keep track of it because if one employee becomes disgruntled and they make a complaint to the Department of Industry, Department of Labor and Industry, who told us what we have to do, then we're kind of caught there.
To answer Tim, I don't know how you're going to use it.
I've got less of a problem with the tracking. I know the tracking is a problem, but we have to do it. But I'm wondering, what are they going to use the time for? Because you're going to have credit for a training or something that you weren't at? Or,
yes.
Which is fine. I mean, but they have to be sick or family members
right.
got to be sick. Well, so it's essentially a leave of absence paid.
It is. That is exactly what will happen. You will have some people accumulate 15 hours, for instance, and then they're going to miss a training, and then they're going to want to be paid for that training. Now, you don't have to give them credit for that training, but they will get paid for that training.
But isn't it going to take them forever to get enough time built up?
I would think so, but that was my only question is, you know, we're building this time, what are we actually going to use it for? But
yeah,
I understand
that doesn't
we
make
have
sense
to,
when you want them to be at the trainings.
Use it on an illness or a family.
There's always
I could see that, but I mean, it's going to take years, I think, to build up enough to be able to use it.
It's an hour for 30 hours, right? Is that
1 hour for every 30 hours.
Yeah. Correct.
You'll build maybe an hour for a year?
So, yeah.
So well, is somebody going to leave training and midway through?
So you can figure what? 5 1 hour for that one, but you can figure 4 hours a month, I guess.
Yeah, so that's 48 if you...
So a couple hours a year.
I
was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a regular, just like a sign-in sheet for the meetings?
That's what I was going to say. Sign-in, sign-out would be... Right.
Yeah, I was just curious. How am I going to... How are they going to request it?
Well, it sounds like we have to do it.
Yeah.
So I would make a motion that we go with Jason's proposal there on earned safe and sick leave, the revision.
Sorry.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Well, we'll see how it works.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say it probably 6 months we'll be back taking them out entirely.
Yeah, because other departments are going to ask the same question. What are we going to use this for?
Well, the good thing about our democracy is you can change your mind.
Okay. Sorry to put you through that, Chris, but...
Well, they weren't going to spend the $5,200 on an automated system.
We'll spend more on a system than what we're going to pay out in benefits.
Take it out of the attorney's wages.
Just saying.
I second that.
Okay, moving on to D. The Memorandum of Understanding.
So what you have in front of you is a draft revision for a Memorandum of Understanding, which clarifies the language of lateral entry. So there was some concern or misunderstanding about where an officer could come in. And the current language said up to the 2 to 3 year step. This language is changing that they cannot exceed the 3 year step. And then also we've modified the effective date so that the new officer that was hired would be hired in as opposed in accordance to the discussion that was offered to him. So we're cleaning that up and just making sure that they understand that they cannot go past the 3 year step. Basically, they get, for every 2 years that they work, they get credit towards a step up when they come in. So if you have an officer who has like 6 years of experience, they can come in at a higher step than the beginning level.
So is this going to change the pay for that officer?
It will. It will retroactive his pay to his date of hire. So as we went through, the union contract would not allow him to be placed at the level that the discussion was held as far as what he would get paid. Yeah. So this makes it right with the employee and makes the contract no misunderstandings from that point.
Yeah, especially with the time period we're in here where we're trying to find officers who want to be able to start them at more than an entry level if they have experience.
Especially if they have experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd make a motion that we approve the Memorandum of Understanding for lateral entry.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. E, our water treatment plant building maintenance.
So Mark was doing some, actually obtained one quote already to do some tuck pointing that the council had looked at for budgetary purposes for this year. Mm-hmm. What we have is an estimated that amount that could exceed $25,000, so we will need to obtain quotes for that, so I would be requesting the council to authorize that.
I'd make a motion to authorize Teresa to get quotes for the water treatment plant building maintenance.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. F is our turnout gear purchase approval. This is for our new hires, right?
Correct. Not because of the price, requires council permission.
What's the cost now, Chris, for turnout gear?
Just about $3,600 a set is what he's got his bid for. Mm-hmm. And that's actually right about in line with everything else that I've seen in the industry.
That's what the coat and pants.
Yep, that doesn't include helmet, boots, gloves, radio, SCBAs. That's just the turnout coat and pants.
How long is that good for?
10 years.
That's my thought.
How long?
10 years. They have good lobbyists.
So what do you do for the rest of the equipment then? What do you have to... Is that an extra...
Those like helmets and stuff, they have a 15-year lifespan, but ours lasts quite a while. We had enough.
Oh, you have helmets and stuff?
I have enough stuff on hand.
Oh, okay.
I'll make a motion we approve the turnout gear purchase.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Just to update you on that, the gear is custom fit, measured to fit the individual.
Yeah.
That's why you don't, it's not the hand-me-down anymore.
Yeah.
One thing I do appreciate from Chris, and I want to say thank you, is that I don't think Chris ever comes to us with gear that is not needed. And he does sometimes say, we don't need this much, and, you know, this, and do appreciate it. Because stuff is expensive, but I don't think you over-ask.
Have you gotten grants for that before?
I have.
Okay.
But we had a lot of just come out of safety budget money.
That's in the hole.
It's in the hole. How did you get down there?
Because you spent it all.
You're
about the only one that utilizes it.
I want to be safe.
Yeah.
You got to have it. They got to have it.
Yeah.
We got to take care of our firefighters.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to G. Resolution 2024R-002, the DNR outdoor grant application.
So this is the same grant that Brenda Langrud applied for last year. We're looking at applying for the pickleball courts. I just want for you guys to know that this is just to submit the application. It doesn't tie you to anything. We will also have some similar engineering costs that were incurred the same as the Oak Park one that Brenda put in, and that's going to be around $3,000 for us to even submit the application. One thing that we did come across in this was that all of the sidewalks need to be ADA accessible. So we would be including that into the grant. Because you can't even submit if you're not going to be ADA accessible. And so we'll be evaluating that. We've got a rough cost of about, I mean really rough cost, between $10,000 and $20,000 to bring the sidewalks and everything to ADA compliance. And that would be a 50-50 match. So if awarded, we would be looking
at... down here? This is for down here?
Yeah.
Didn't they just put a ramp in down there?
This is the sidewalk systems in between also.
Oh.
So that all has to be... They do not grandfather anything that's in existence.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has to be brought up. If we are awarded, then, you know, we will be flushing out some of those costs more as we get through their grant application. But I just want you to know that there are costs above and beyond when we do apply.
How much is this grant for?
It's a 50-50 grant. That's a pretty good chunk of money.
And you said there's a $3,000 engineering fee?
Yeah, there's parts in there that there's no way that we could do. So there's different studies and stuff that have to be certified by the engineers. We did do that last year with Brenda. We got kind of to the last point and then realized you need all of these other things that you need to sign off on. So we gave Jason the go-ahead to complete the work so we could get the grant submitted.
Would you have to do all the sidewalk stuff beforehand, too?
That'll be included in the cost.
Oh, of the grant.
So, yeah, if we're going to do it and bring it up ADA accessible, they can help pay for that.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't have to be done ahead of time in order to apply for the grant?
We would get an estimated cost of what we need to do with that, and it would be included in the overall cost.
Okay.
Well, the expectation is it's a full match.
from the city. So if we get a $100,000 grant, the city's got to come up with another $100,000.
We already have money from fundraising, okay. So that puts us, you know, a little better off to start with. So, and once you apply, you don't know if you'll get accepted or not, and if so, then the council has the ability to decide at that point if they want to accept the funding or reject the funding.
Is this engineering fee able to be used if we don't get it this time around? Do we have to redo that engineering next time around?
That I'm not positive, but I would say no, because it's things like you have wetland delineations, you have species, you have
so it's all stuff that has to be
architectural, you know, our engineered drawings of survey work and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a list of them. Can you remember? Jason, do you remember all of them? I don't offhand.
I don't, but I have a person that does this, yeah. And that's what she helps us with, and so she's on call until you guys authorize it, but we do that all the time for these applications, so she's very well versed on it. I'm surprised she can get it done for $3,000, to be honest. So.
Did you have any of that done when you were looking at the property to come up with the estimate, you know, that for the project down there?
No, that was just specific to what we would be building.
Oh, okay.
That's just the construction costs and a concept for what we'd be building.
Oh, okay.
That didn't include any of the application or these studies for that.
Oh, okay.
So basically you're paying, you know, around $3,000 for to take a risk of maybe getting some funding. So if you're okay with that, then I would need approval for the resolution.
I'll make a motion we approve resolution 2024R-002 DNR outdoor grant application.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. HR resolution 2024R-003 appointment election judges for 24 presidential primary election. We have a sheet of those. That's just a simple approval for us here.
Yep, I'll make a motion. We approve resolution 2024R-003.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The American Rescue Plan, expense allocation.
So what I'm looking for is council's approval on the 2023 expenses. So what I would like to recommend is that the funds that we've already spent in 2023, we will be claiming all of those based off of the previous approvals that the council gave. We have expenditures that are sitting out there that the council wanted to do, but in order for me to just go ahead and get this closed out, get everything reported, I would like to just use the balance of the funds as being an expense for public safety wages, which is an eligible cost for the program. So by doing that, that leaves me use up the fund of money that was left, which was about $99,000 or $107,000 from last year. But then it still keeps it and kind of moves that undesignated fund and allows, since you're not taking the public safety money out of there, it's building that back in. It gives you a little more float ability to pay for additional expenses as you go down the line, still out of that money. It just kind of, it's a play on numbers, but it allows me to do the costs in accordance to what it can be and get it closed out.
You're going to close this fund and put the money into a different fund, is that what you're saying?
So, yeah, so basically this fund here would then be closed out, but then it also frees up that extra 60-some thousand in the general fund. that you can then take that and market to special projects if you wish.
Okay.
So, because we had talked about the $20,000 donation to the county, and that won't be billed out, for the 2023 report.
What was that for, the $20,000 of the county?
So the $20,000 was the donation for the hydrology study.
Oh.
For the actual portion that's underway with the new funding that came down. So that was our contribution to the project. And we had some other things out there that just didn't play out quite like we were looking. The remodel we had earmarked for the city hall for $50,000, and it didn't come in anywhere near that. So then, you know, our dollar target that we were looking for, of course, had excess then. So it's just moving monies around. But I would need approval for this because you guys had not previously stated that you wanted public safety wages to be applied.
I'll make a motion to approve the American Rescue Plan expense allocations.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Our floodplain ordinance revision.
So I just want to give you a little background. So the state just sent this out to us. Jason has not had much time to review it. I haven't had much time. Yeah. But the reason why I wanted it added to the agenda was the fact that we need to have a draft back to the state by April in order to complete the process. So I would like to have the council kind of take a peek at this, give Jason some more time to review it. I've done some edits to it. But I would like to try to set up a special meeting next week before I am not available. And so we can kind of go through, get our rough draft put to place so that we can send that up to the state for their review, because it's going to take them a little while to review it. And then after it comes back and they give their blessing on it, then the council will need to then look at it again and make sure that they've done their first readings, second readings, public hearings, and adoptions.
You want to treat tonight as the first reading?
I don't think so. I think we will look at that during the work session.
Okay.
Maybe, if that works.
I was just thinking that might speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I was unclear of that because if they come in and make a bunch of edits, I wasn't sure, and I didn't have a chance to visit with you.
We can always change it. I mean, there probably will be some modifications. I mean, I got it yesterday. I preliminarily reviewed it. There are some things in there that we're going to want to have some discussions with the DNR about, specifically some building standards, some construction standards. And there may not be a whole lot of movement from the DNR on that, but we're at least going to have some of those discussions to see if there's some play there. But as long as we get it to them here relatively quickly, we should be in good shape.
So on your draft, there's the model, and then everything that is in blue is what the DNR classed as being subjective. So you can add it. Their edits. Don't have to accept them. There's some things that I've already edited. I've added some comments, and you'll see those. But I would like for you to have an opportunity to at least read through it and know what they're asking. We can be more restrictive, but not less restrictive. They have some language in there about warnings. They have roads being constructed or being allowed to be constructed below the base flood elevation in new development.
No.
And I'm not a fan of that.
No.
If you're having a new development, there's no reason why you can't put your roads up where they need to be and then do your housing accordingly.
I was going to say the buildings have to be above anyhow. So
they do, but if
the road.
According to this, that road can be a foot to 2 feet below the base flood elevation.
We've got enough problems with it already.
Correct. So then you're not getting into the fact that you might have to evacuate or, you know, that kind of situation. Just keeps them high and dry, and it's something you wouldn't have to worry about. So what I'm requesting is maybe we look at something Monday, Tuesday, next week if people are available. And if that doesn't work, then I'll probably put Jason on the spot, and he can be here to walk the council through whatever you would need to do preliminary, and I would not be available.
Do you want? Do you?
So we're going to have a work session, and we're going to approve just the changes to this and the additions to this.
What we're going to do is get the guidance from you guys of what you want. We'll go through it. And then if Jason feels that he can, that we should do a first reading, we'll do it that time, and then we'll get it shipped off to the state for them for their review.
I have commitments next Monday and Tuesday. I'm free Wednesday, Thursday. I strike that. I'm free Wednesday next week.
On Valentine's Day, if you're free. I don't know about that.
You know, I
and Ash Wednesday.
Yes, I had. Yeah, I completely remembered that.
not. Perfect ever work session.
Do we have changes ready for this, or how many more additions and things do we have to go through?
So Jason needs to review
Honestly, without reviewing it, I mean, again, I just got it yesterday. I was in court all day today. I haven't had a chance really to review it. Is there a chance we could meet on the 20th? Tuesday the 20th, the 21st, 22nd?
I'm on vacation that week, so you guys can do it without me if you can still meet.
Teresa, you said you're leaving on the 15th.
Yeah, I am
not. You would be available.
Mm-hmm. So Jason would just lead everything for me. And we could talk before I go.
You're leaving on the 15th?
Yeah.
I have availability during the day on the 12th. I've got the evening tied up. The 13th, I'm tied up all day. So I'll be working. Wednesday, I've got availability in the evening.
So we're thinking maybe the 20th would work?
Bill, did you want to be present for that?
I'll be gone that week, so I don't need...
Week of the 26th?
I think this is just a simple approval, too, because we're following their guidelines. We're not going to add to...
Well, I think we can.
I think those are some of the discussions we need to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't necessarily take away from their regulations, but we can expand and make them a little stronger. Construction standards.
Like Teresa's suggestion that we don't build roads under what's going to be our normal flood levels. All those things are going to be...
Do we really need a special meeting? I mean, can we just put it on for March?
We can. I wanted to get ahead of it because if everybody is due in April, that's the time frame they're looking at.
Yeah.
Putting theirs in, and I just want to make sure that we have no bumps in the road and we have ample opportunity to get everything passed and in place. And they have to review everything before it can come back, and I don't know how long that review process would be. So if you want to, yeah, we would just be looking at, you know, probably my guess would be a longer turnaround time for their review than what we would now.
Mm-hmm.
Would any of this be ready by this week? Would we have any of this reviewed and have it done this week?
You wouldn't be able to hold a meeting because of postings.
Okay.
If you wanted to, is a day meeting available? Is that anything that would work?
It is for me on Monday, not on Wednesday.
Monday I'd be available. Yeah.
Monday the 11th?
Mm-hmm.
12th.
Oh, I'm way off. Monday the 12th would work. Afternoon.
I've got up until about 5 o'clock that day at the latest.
Do it at 3? 4?
What's good for you, Bill?
3 o'clock would work fine for me.
Roy? Jen?
I'm fine.
I'm good for 3.
Monday the 12th, 3 p.m.
I'll make a motion that we set a council work session for the floodplain ordinance revisions for Monday, February 12th at 3 p.m.
Do we want to treat that as the first reading?
Yes, so we do work session, special meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll do the first reading Monday the 12th. We'll discuss the revisions, and then we'll set it up for the public hearing. And between now and then, Teresa and I will get it to the DNR and see if they have any issue. Provided they've given their blessing, then we would pass it at the March public hearing, second reading. Does that sound good, Teresa?
Yep, sounds like a plan to me.
So I'll amend it to make that special meeting. What do we need to, not just a council work session, but an actual special council meeting then?
So we're set for the 12th at 3 o'clock?
We need a second on that motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 3 p.m.
If you don't have any concerns, I may issue the or post the meeting so that the PNZ can be there also and listen and participate if need be.
It's a good idea.
Some reports. All right. Jason Moran.
All right. We talked about one of the laws that drove me crazy, the SST law. The other law that is driving me crazy is this THC law. We're talking about planning and zoning a little bit here. I have been waiting from the league on proposed zoning ordinances as it relates to where THC establishments, dispensaries in particular, would be located and how all of that is going to look and how it's going to be fleshed out. They obviously have not gotten that to us yet. I had hoped to had already actually even been discussing that, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Essentially, the status of that is the state is still in the process of formulating that regulatory agency. They're not fully staffed. They're starting, and you're hearing it in the news, and Councilmember Grobe and I, incidentally, were talking about this just a little bit ago, but the licenses are probably not going to be issued anytime soon, in mass anyway. I am going to start drafting some ordinances just on our own to anticipate some things that may be coming. Again, I had hoped that the league would get those. They haven't. We'll be running those through planning and zoning first. I'll be getting those to Teresa here shortly. But essentially, there's not a whole lot of regulation that we can do in terms of where they go. You know, we can prohibit them in a residential area. We'll probably have to allow them in a commercial district, certainly out on the highway, industrial district, for instance. We'll have to allow them there. You guys will have the ability to set some parameters as to how close to a school. I'm going to be doing some checking on Beacon and playing around with that and making some proposals for planning and zoning. And then also proposing a cap, just like we do with the liquor ordinances. For instance, you can't have any more than 2 or 1. You guys will ultimately decide if there are any caps, what that cap will be. Will it mirror your alcohol? I mean, those are decisions that you guys will have to decide. And likewise, as it regards the decision how close to a school or how close to a park or how close to a playground or a beach, for instance, you know, those are all decisions that you guys will have to make. But we are going to start those discussions probably in March. We'll be starting some of this, and then you guys are going to start seeing some ordinances April, May-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting emails from the Office of the Cannabis Management and to do surveys.
Sure.
I got one on the 6th, rulemaking public input survey.
Yep, I got the same one.
Yeah. So I got to do, I haven't done it yet. I'll do it tomorrow.
The other issue, does anybody else have any question on any of that?
Well, they were saying on the news, even on the news, that they were trying to want to roll out provisional licenses like in the midsummer, you know, to certain things just to get it rolling for a test issue of how they're going to handle anything, and they don't seem to know what the heck they're doing. But
so what is up? I've seen them around already. So some people, except there's one in Mankato.
That's the lower level stuff.
Oh, it's still the lower level.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be anyway.
All right.
They did. There was more talk of them, like we had just changed the lower grade things and where we wanted those, and now I hear they came out with new rules on that again. I'm wondering if we have to revisit that again.
We probably should. Yeah.
Because I think they mandated that your community is going to have these in it if the people want it.
Correct. Correct.
If a business wants to sell it.
Right.
It's going to... You have to allow them, I think, is what
you do have to allow them. Yes. So, or at some point in time, you're going to have to allow them.
It would be nice if they would get this done so we wouldn't have to go through what we think the rules should be.
It's not going to be done for 2 or 3 years.
And the state isn't going to have... We're going to have to set our own rules. And
I mean, they've already noticed loopholes in the regulation regarding flour and some other things, and it's... frankly, another one of those laws that...
Well, our moratorium is only in place till mid-summer, June, July, Teresa thought.
I think it is. I'd have to look back. But I was thinking like July. It might even be August, actually.
Okay.
So that's going to be coming to a head. So be thinking about it. You know, do you want to cap the number? Where would you like to see them? How many would you like to see? Do you want it to mirror your alcohol? So, and we're all going to have differences of opinion on it. Just the way it is. It's one of those topics.
And it sounds like when we get it finished, they'll change it.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. We'll be dealing with ESSD law probably the same night.
Experimentation with it, yep.
The other thing that's kind of coming to a head is you would recall... a few years ago, we had fire at the Funky Monkey, and we had placed some assessments and did a promissory note with the owner of that property for payment of those back. Unfortunately, the property owner is now in default, and so the issue is going to become how do we collect that, and we're going to be having some discussions on those. Where do we fall in terms of priority? The very good news is, you know, we have multiple properties that are collateralized, and so, you know, this is going to be coming to a head as well. But property owner has not made their payment or has not made the assessment payment for the end of 2023, and I don't anticipate one in 2024. So, it's a possibility we may be getting that property back. We're gonna flesh out what is the best route for us, but we do have that parcel collateralized, and we have another parcel collateralized. On the second parcel, I know for a fact that we're first in priority. There are no liens against us. That property is, however, in Hennepin County. This particular property, you'd recall that when we were issuing the license, I had all kinds of questions. Well, who actually owns this? Who's running it? You know, and lo and behold, there's a fire, and now we got different layers of complexity because there's a contract for deed, and so that will be coming to a head. That's enough.
I have another question for you. Mr. Jasinski had a Facebook post, and they were talking about Jasinski from the representative of our state somewhere.
Terrible.
It was on concerning the state flag, and he was saying how it was going to cost Hennepin County $500,000 to have to replace all their badges and so on and so forth. And then Chief Manning was saying that here also one night. So I was just curious, what can we do in our town to have something done with the flag or the badges or anything like that?
Well, I think that if you guys did want to push the issue, you know, cities are empowered to have city flags, for instance. Madison Lake, namely, has a city flag. You know, if you guys are concerned enough about this issue, I mean, I think that you can have a city flag, and I could envision that official city flag resembling or very closely resembling the current state flag. Cities are also empowered to have official city seals. I could also envision that if you guys wanted to keep the current Minnesota state seal, perhaps with a minor modification to it, that could in fact become the city seal for the city of Waterville. In order to effectuate those two things, we would have to pass a resolution.
Are we...
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, because Chief Manning said it would cost quite a bit of money just for them to have to redo their badges, and that's a big expense to have to foot out for...
Are we actually required to replace those badges?
I don't know as if you're required to replace them, and I don't know who the enforcing agency on that would be. You know, passing a resolution would essentially just be an additional layer of protection if the Attorney General's office or somebody from the state came down and said, you will do this. Whereas we could say, no, you know, we have a resolution in place. This is Waterville's official city flag. This is Waterville's official city seal. And the Waterville badge has the official city seal on it. It would protect us. I take the marching orders from you guys.
Yep.
You know, you tell me what you want
to
do.
What does it take for you to do this resolution?
I can have that done in lightning speed. I can have that done this week.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to have you do this resolution.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I will draft you resolutions.
Maybe then publicize this so more cities see this so then they can take it back to the state so they can...
I have a feeling it's
going to get some traction. I'm sure we're not the only ones considering said resolutions.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure we're not the only ones considering said resolutions.
Because I'm not a big fan of the new state flag.
Is there anything the fire department has that we need to include in that? You don't have any of that.
No, we use the Maltese.
We can use the old one. That's good.
All right, I'll get you three resolutions. The badge, the seal, and the flag.
Yep.
Get all that, Jay?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
All right, we have an engineer's report.
I don't have anything that's been on my plate this past month to really update anything on. So.
Okay.
But I will be as far as Paul and be helping with that. And, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have anything else on our table here? Any discussions?
Feed myself out.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor of adjourn?
Aye.
Aye.